Good afternoon, everybody. Is this one on? Nope, not on yet. Is it on now? Now? It's on now. Okay, cool. Normally, you don't kill Def Leppard, right? So let's just get that sorted out. You don't just kill it in the middle of a song. But we won't care about that right now, because we have something better. Welcome to our session, which we have called Visualize Your Configuration Manager Data. My name is Kent Agerlund, and I'm from Cortec in Denmark. And with me on stage, I have a local lad.
Yeah, my name is Mirko. I'm from Switzerland. It's like a home game for me.
Yeah. So it's like a home game. This session here, we kind of made this session because we wanted to show the different ways you can get data out of Configuration Manager. I know we have integration with service managers, Cyrus on outside, they have some neat portals and so on and so forth. We're not going to touch on those, but I highly encourage you to go out and have a talk with them afterwards, because they can do some cool stuff as well. Here we are going to look at the different people who will touch Configuration Manager. So that will be IT pros, like the majority of you in here. That might be developers, that might be managers, that might be project managers, and so on and so forth. Some of them will have access to SQL. Some of them will have knowledge about PowerShell. Some of them have no knowledge at all. Those are the ones we call managers. I didn't say that. But they know stuff that we don't know anything about, because they're kind of masters when it comes to Excel and juggling around with numbers in Excel. So we just need to give them something that they can use in there. So the reason why we really want to visualize is because at the end of the day, when you know stuff, it's actually better for the business compared to when you're guessing. I'm pretty sure that most of you in the room in here, I mean, you have been in endless meetings, you know, that just goes on for hour after hour, where everybody's kind of fighting and guessing and says, no, it's not going to be like that, it was like this, and so on and so forth. And normally when you look at data in Configuration Manager, I mean, there's like a ton of different reports, there are a ton of different queries, and they might not really give you the stuff that you want to get. So we have different people. Management, they really do not care about the stuff that we care about. They don't care about, you know, all the fuss that we have in the canned reports. They just care about a blue or a red box, and that's about it. And if it's not blue, then they will turn to you and say, can you make it blue, like, instantly? And then it's your job to figure out why it's not blue, which is why you need to drill into more detailed information. Supporters. In my opinion, supporters should not really have access to the console. And that's not because I do not trust a supporter. It's just because normally they do not need that kind of access. What they need is, you know, like a work order. Here's a report, very detailed report with some issues that we have, or here is like an HTML page with some stuff that you need to go and fix. I strongly believe that the only ones who need access to Config Manager is you guys, the IT pros, and that's about it. If your manager needs access, by all means, do it like read-only, please. So why is this important to us? Because it's important because once we have the facts, it will be so much easier for you to prioritize what you have to do. It's just like a good example is you're looking at your compliance data, and you just know that they suck. It's like watching a Man United game, they just suck. Do you get that, Jason? you really need to be able to prioritize that. And as once you know which one is actually the bad guys, or which ones are the bad guys, then you can prioritize. Because then you can do something about your work hours, and you can commit your time to what is really important. Without having that knowledge, you're just like fighting in the dark. It's not that super easy. When you have knowledge, you can also get there in time. I mean, again, a good example would be your compliance. when you know exactly how long time it took last month after Patch Tuesday to become compliant, and you have the trends, then you also have a pretty good guess of how long time it's going to take you this month. And I don't know how many of you knows exactly the duration or the average duration of all your OS deployments when you're deploying Windows 10 or when you're deploying Windows 7. If you have that knowledge, then it's really neat, especially when you're doing a new project. Although it's not the same operating system, you can really use those trends and those information from the previous projects when you're kind of doing your planning and so on and so forth. That is why we kind of need to be able to prioritize, and that's why the knowledge in here is so much more important than just guessing. This is our dashboard, the dashboard that Mirko and I created for this session here. So these are like the different ways we know to visualize data. Some of them you're familiar with. I mean, if you've been working with Configuration Manager for a long time, then you know about queries. Some of them might be new to you, like creating custom dashboards or using Power Queries. We're going to introduce you to all of these. But creating queries, just want to take a few examples because we are actually using this. So we have some use cases, and just to go all the way back to basics, a query is something you retrieve using WMI. So if you know SQL, there's a pretty good chance that you know WMI because it's super similar. Sometimes it can be faster for you to actually retrieve the data directly straight from WMI instead of having to go in through SQL. And the data you retrieve through WMI, they might not match the data you see in the built-in Configuration Manager dashboard. That's extremely important because the dashboards you have in the Config Manager console, they're based on summarizations. And those summarizations might only work or run, you know, like manually or once a day or once every hour. So don't get confused when the numbers are not exactly the same. The example we have in here is an example we use when we are dealing with client health. So again, in order for us to kind of spot the trends, one thing I really would like to do is have a basic collection. Just give me the number of machines I haven't heard from in X number of days, 7 days, 14 days, 28 days, 35 days, and so on and so forth. I need that because, I mean, if you're working in a mid-sized organization, let's say less than 1,000, people in service desk and IT pros, you know, you actually know the machine names. That's kind of, you know you've spent too much time in front of the monitor when you actually know the machine names, even though they're just serial numbers. So you know if people are on vacation or if they're on leave or something like that. So you're not worried when you see that, hey, I still have 85 machines that haven't been active for 35 days. But you need to know that, because if at one point you get like 200 machines that hasn't been active for 35 days, there's a pretty good chance that you won't reach your compliance level, so you'll never ever become 95% compliant. We have a short demo on that. Over to you.
Maybe. Yes. So if you feel comfortable with direct query in SQL, I have just created with Create Wizard collection. And now I have the query that we saw on slides before. Add a query rule, give them a name, client health 7, for example, edit query statement, and go to the show query language and paste that stuff in here. So just for you, it's the same query as you saw on the slides before. And say okay, okay. And that's it. So we have to query on a collection and see all the clients. I have not that much data in my demo lab, so that's why it's zero. But the query is working. Just to be sure, press F5. Oh, there is a client in it. So if you have the access to the console, you can see by just creating a query on a collection, and you can see. What's the big deal on this? You have a report, you can see all collection report and then find the collection that I created now for a support engineer. And what we can do with them, we see in a later demo. I have another example with the same query in PowerShell. So you can see down here, it's it's I just started the PowerShell. It's not connected to the config manager site. Just with the GWMI namespace to the site, you can, or with the computer name in, you can start the query, and then you get a result. That is just to have a look on your query. Is your query statement really the right one? You get the information, but I think that's not really a solution for the support user or a help desk employee. So, yeah, just a little example about the two queries we saw in the demo.
So the reason why we might want to use PowerShell instead is if we can't really use the result in here. We're just kind of checking that the syntax is correct because, let's face it, the UI, it's really not the best. I don't think it has changed since SMS 2.0 or something like that. So let's just jump back to our dashboard here. So the other thing we have is, of course, the repo. So you can see we're starting where most of you already know the stuff. Hopefully you have been working with queries and reports before. We will quickly drill into the custom stuff. So the reports in here, there are more than 440 reports. I think the only man on the planet who knows the exact number is Wally, and he's here somewhere. Because I remember I once said something, and he said, well, there was a 443, and I was like, okay. I haven't checked it, so he might have just been, you know, saying something. But how many of you have actually used all of those reports? I mean, that would be like, exactly, right, zero. And some of you are smiling, and no, we don't. Some of the reports are really good. I mean, some of the app reports that was released in 2012 are really neat. We have some wonderful charts in there. But we still have a lot of, let's call it fluff in there. I mean, there are so many different reports. So if I tell my manager, hey, here you go. We just invested, you know, a lot of time in Config Manager. You have all this information. He or she just, they just look at me like I'm an idiot. And I might be an idiot, but I mean, we can do it better. We have role-based administration, so we can still go in and say, okay, you're limited to only view the software distribution reports, but there are still too many reports in there, and it might not be the reports that they really need. So even with role-based administration, you guys have to do a little work. There are a few tricks in here that you can do that will really make it easier for your colleagues. You might have to invest like, you know, 15 minutes, but once you have done that, then your colleagues are going to kind of love you again. I had an example. I was doing a project in the States. So this school here, they had like, I think it was more than 45 different colleges all over. And each of those, let's call them college administrators, the only thing they needed was to view the same 5 reports. But of course, they needed to see their only data sets. We could kind of fix part of that with role-based administration, but not all of that. So they just needed to see the computer details, the patch management compliant details, and 2 or 3 other custom ones. So we fixed that very easily, actually. I think if you can just turn on to that demo, Miguel.
Oh, yes.
You just need to switch the monitor.
Yeah. So, okay, we are back to the demo. First, in this case, we create a collection for a location. So in my example, for the location Bern. And then we will import the reports or also use reports that we had already in the console. And I show you that. So first, I have to connect to the SCCM site. We see down here it's connected to S01, it's my site. And here we have an example to create collection. So with a new item, it's like a folder that calls client health. And the next is a client health at 7-day collection that we create before manually. We can that create also by PowerShell. So, you know, I'm not the little Kaido in this case. That's why my PowerShell script goes wrong. Okay, I have tested another one. And why I have two of them, you can see I have created a variable for the days. If I have some different collections, one for 7 days, client health collection, one for 14 days and one for 21 days, I just can change the number here in the variable. And here is the statement to get also a variable from the PowerShell script himself direct to the query in it. So then you have to use the little question marks here, not the question marks, the little, thank you, and the plus signs to get the variable in. I will show you that here, so. And so you can get direct from a PowerShell script your variable into the query. We will see that here. So the script was running. Nope. So. Okay, it's already existing. It's in the client health folder. We see here for 7 days. And when I open the properties of the query, we see the same query statement as the same as before. So you see the 7 is in as a variable through PowerShell script. Okay. The next we want to do is to create a report for the location in Bern. We start our config manager report with the web browser you like. Mine is, of course, Internet Explorer. And it's simply new folder. Sorry, it's in German. And so now, okay, create a location, Bern. So, you see it's empty. And now I can get some reports from my config manager site. There is a special report from the Asset Intelligence. It calls summary of computers in a collection. Huh? Okay, I get here and say link this report. You can get this name, computer details Bern, and just change the folder to save to the folder Bern and say okay. And now we have a linked report. It needs a little while to create that report on our new folder. So, and now it's also starting. I go back to my folder Bern and see here is my copy of the report. And for that reason, we have also a location Bern, and I created a collection. It calls all Bern clients. And what I have done is also through the RBA administrator for Bern created that have only access to this collection, and that we can see in the reports later. So first I have to get the ID of the collection. It's 19 in the end. And now that this report all the way starts direct with this collection, I can just go to manage and change on the parameter. We see the collection ID. I set here a hook and give in the collection ID. So, go back and open my report, and it opens direct with the collection, all Bern clients. You see that? And Yeah, the burn administrator just has his burn collection. So what I have done with the rule-based administration, I open the Internet Explorer with the credentials of that user. Just shift and open, run as different user. His name is Ed.
That's a good name. It's nice and short.
Okay, it's Contoso. Okay. Of course, I have to copy the link. So now you can see when I go back, he see all, but he see also his burn client or his burn reports. And when he open it, he see nothing. So the client we saw before in the client HILF collection is not a burn client. It's not in the collection here. In this all burn clients, that's why we can't see any client. Huh?
You could just go back to so the difference or the reason why we're creating a child report in here is to make it easier for some of those colleagues that you have sitting around, so they don't have to go in and know about your collections, because sometimes not any of you in here but other people outside of this room, when they create collections, they don't use a naming standard, so it only makes sense to the IT pro who actually created the collection. But all the users, they have no idea what that collection actually contains. So this is kind of little step, but it will actually help your colleagues a lot. The third option we have in here is custom reports. And custom reports are cool. It requires a little knowledge about SQL, and also a little knowledge, you know, you need to be able to search the internet, which is like kind of essential here. We have a couple of tool sets, Reporting Builder and the SQL Data Tools. Personally, I use both. Sometimes Reporting Builder is more than enough, and I'll create you a report here from nothing. It takes like a couple of minutes, and then we'll add in some visual objects into that one. Before you get started, you need to know about the SQL views. And knowing about the SQL views, there is an online TechNet document that will actually explain the different views in 2012. You can also do as I have done, download that document from 2007, because then you will have it offline. A lot of really neat examples, they still work. A lot of the views are actually unchanged in 2012. So that's a pretty good way to get started here. You'll also be able to see how the views are all connected to each other, which is also very useful. A report like this is nice for guys like us. I mean, the IT pros, who needs to see kind of the same data over and over again. So the data set will never really change. Of course, the data will change. So it takes a little effort to create, but it absolutely suits a purpose. When you do this, and I'm an IT pro. I mean, I don't design clothes or anything like that. People who read my reports can see that. So I live by a few simple rules, like, I use graphics and colors only to emphasize my data. In the beginning, I was like using graphics, you know, to do everything, and there was like purple clowns all over the place, and I thought it was so awesome. But my message there got totally dropped. I mean, nobody could really figure out what I was trying to say. Eliminate the fluff. Kind of kill your darlings. If the data is not really important for the message that you're trying to send, remove it. If you think it's important, then it's not the same as it is important. That's there is a difference. Then maybe you can have like a filter. You know, okay, if you want to see additional information, click here. And then you can show the stuff that you believe is important, but I can guarantee you that your manager, she probably doesn't think the way you think. So dim the labels, not the values, and visualize. If you have a KPI, you know, these are my compliance data. Your manager doesn't care about 87.6. He or she only cares about, are you doing good? Are you doing bad? Are you kind of, you know, in the middle towards doing pretty good? So that can easily be visualized. A lot of the stuff that we're using can easily be visualized, like green, yellow, red. Everybody kind of understands that. So when you have data that you want to show, don't show numbers. figure out a way to visualize them. I have some examples that I'm going to show you here, and let me just jump into my demo. So in this demo here, I'm going to use Reporting Builder. And first off, if you have not seen the offline stuff that I was talking about, then we have something, the Configuration Manager 2007 documentation. Do yourself a big favor, download this. We will blog about the stuff that we're showing here after. But in here you have like a list of all the SQL views. So, I mean, it's pretty good investment in your time if you want to learn about reporting to go in and have a look. Also have a look at the Visio document in here, because in the Visio document, you'll see when you're doing client deployment, you can see in here how all the views are actually connected, which one is your primary key, and so on and so forth. And that's essential to working with any database when you're creating queries and so on. So the views are defined. The online version is for 2012, but offline you can get the 2007. Furthermore, you have a CHIM file in here where you can go in and have a look at some of the examples in here, and there are like a ton of different examples. So there are examples for hardware inventory, software inventory, client health, and so on and so forth. And you can almost 100% of those examples, copy and paste them straight into SQL Management Studio. In SQL Management Studio right now, if I go into my machine here, I have a SQL statement that will just give me some information about my compliance. So how am I doing? Am I 100% compliant, 85% compliant, and so on and so forth? I could give this list to my manager. He would probably just smile at me and say, go back. So I would have to kind of go back and do it better. So the thing that I'm doing in here, I'm going in, I'm just copying the code. Didn't do anything else, just copying the code. And I will go into Reporting Builder. In Reporting Builder, there is a few things that I have to do first. I'll just go in and create a blank report. Once I have my report, the first thing I need to do is add the data source. The data source, if you're new to building reports, that's kind of like your endpoint. It's kind of like your TCP IP address, you know. You have information about who you are, where we want to fetch the data, and so on and so forth. So I already have my data source in here, the config manager one. Just verify. The second thing I need to do is I need to add in some data. So I'll add in my data set, use my data source, and then I'll basically just paste in my query. once I have done that, let me just go ahead and add in the credentials. Once I have done that, it's playtime. So now you need to just kind of remember the rules. So I want to do a few things in here. I want to have a table. Just want to insert a table from scratch. And in here, I might want to have, you know, my update classification, my title, the bulleting idea, and then let's say if we have some percent compliant, that one we can definitely visualize. If I look at the data right now, not very pretty. I might have a couple of my Unix colleagues that thinks this is super awesome. so, as I mentioned, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but a few advice, remove all your borders. You don't want to see, it's not an Excel spreadsheet, right? So remove the borders. What I found is that also Arial up here might not be the best font, so I'm using the CGO here. And then I want to kind of want to dim the labels that I have and emphasize, you know, maybe emphasize my data. Percent compliance, if we just have a look here, I'm not saying it's not much better now, just a little. Percent compliance, that's a KPI. So in here, what I want to do is I want to insert a column. So I want to insert a column to the right, and then instead of showing my numbers, I want to insert, as you can see down here, I can insert an int. Okay, doesn't really work with this screen resolution. But you can insert an indicator. Is that better? You see that? So my indicator in this example could be, you know, the traffic lights. So we kind of know that. The biggest challenge here is when we talk about compliance, those of you who attended the session Jason and I had yesterday, that's not really inserting the traffic lights, but that's figuring out when are you compliant, when are you non-compliant, and when are you kind of okay, but you really are not fully there yet. When I go into my indicator properties here, I have some values and some states. So first off, I need to tie this object here to a value. So that would be my percent compliance. So as you can see in here, this is really what I want to show. The measurement unit is, funny enough, it's not a percent, it's actually just numeric, from 0 to 100. And here I know that we are definitely not happy in my organization when we are below 80. We know we will be below 80 for at least 2 weeks, because that's the time it takes to reach, you know, all the workstation and the servers and so on, or a good majority of them. The company I work for is not that big. Yellow, that would be anything between 80 and 95, and 95 and above, and we're happy. so right now, I just need to remove this one here again. I'm not saying this is kind of, you know, pretty, but you have to work a little more on this one here. But now you can see even my manager will understand this. I mean, at least I hope so. if I go to the last page, you can see this, she absolutely understands. When I'm not doing a good job, I mean, she will be there. So, and you can see when we walk in, if we have any yellow ones, there you go. So it takes like a couple of seconds to do this, but it makes your reports look so much better. And now to the example where I go like, hey, I want to read about this this software update, and I'm pretty sure my manager wants to do that. So I'm giving the information address so they can just click on the link and read about this update. The true story is they don't care about that. They just want to, you know, fix it. So what I'm doing here is I'm adding in another column, so my information address. But if I run that one right now, you can see here I have a link, and it's really not, I mean, it really doesn't really add any value to the report for all of us. So the information address I have here, what I will do instead is I will just go in here, and then I will merge the cells up here, and then I'm going to add in, you know, just add in a text box, additional information. Once I've done that, I'll just take my text box properties, and just like, you know, when you're working in Access and all the different tools you work with, your text box has a name, so I'll just give it additional info, like that. And then I go to my information URL here, go into the text box properties. So normally, what we want to do is we want to show everything, but we can also say, well, you know what? Let's show or hide the values here based on some other stuff. So I'm going in here and say, you know, I want to show or hide. Oops, not that one. I want to hide it. And then I want to display it. So when we toggle this one up here, the TXT additional information, then you can go ahead and display it. So with a few clicks, you'll see here I have some additional information, and then I can go in, and there you have your additional information. I'm not saying this is pretty, still not pretty, but we don't have like 5 hours. I have some ready-made examples, so you can actually see where we have kind of used this. So if I just open up a browser here, then this is an OS deployment report. So right now I'm actually connected to my my demo environment back home. So you'll see kind of the same where we kind of, you know, kill the darlings. Here we have some time. So instead of, you know, just showing the duration, we're actually showing also an indicator. Plus, when we're showing the graphics down here, we're using some custom code that you can use in Reporting Builder to get like an Excel kind of experience. In Excel, you can colorize your data sets here based on the value. So if it's zero, it's like dark green, and if it's like 100, then it's light green. In order to do that, if we just quickly look at this this report. Oh, gee. I just credentials. See, I'm using Bing. Hey. Just saying. So let me check the report here. So this is the report. I'm just going to edit this one here in Report Builder because I want to show you this little trick. So what I have up here is when I look up here above my report, I have my report properties. When you open up your report properties, you have something called code. And in here, you can add in custom code. So you have some custom code to do some color scaling. It's not code that I wrote myself. There is a very, very neat blog post where you can actually copy and paste that code straight in here. You need to do a few things. You need to, you know, copy in the code. You need to go into references, and then you need to specify the module that you have using that code. It's all in the blog post, right? But once you have done that, then you can go in and kind of visualize your stuff. You can see here that it's actually, right now it just looks like kind of blue. But when we go in and look at the fill-in here, we'll see some code that has been used, which is kind of really, really neat. Another example where I'm using, let's just very quickly show that. Another example, let's just look at this one here, where we're using the additional information is this, I would call it kind of a dashboard report, but it's really not a dashboard. But in here, this is a report telling me how am I doing on compliance-wise against this specific collection here. And apparently, we have some clients that are not compliant. Big surprise. Why are they not compliant? And here you can see this is exactly what I showed you. This is my additional information. So I have some pending system restart information, and I can click here because let's face it that not everybody would love to see all the computer names and so on all the updates because that would just kind of pollute your report. So we're living by the rules that I showed you in the slide deck here. So if I just go back to the slide deck and just show you the rules again, it's kind of, you know, eliminate all the fluff that you have. Use a thin font, only, you know, emphasize your data in here. That's really what we want to do. Yeah. So so custom reports definitely have a place and time for Config Manager. We use them a lot. But there might be other scenarios where we have like a PowerShell guru and they just want to do something quick and dirty. It's not for the eyes of the manager. It's not something we have to print out. It's just like, hey, can you give me all the maintenance windows? Because right now we are planning to do some stuff. In scenarios like that, I might not want to, you know, create a report and think about all of that. I just want to create an HTML file, right? So we can do that. It's pure PowerShell. There is really nothing Config Manager related in this, but let me just show you a few examples. And again, we will share these the PowerShell examples here. We'll just come up with a blog post after this. So I have I think I showed this example also yesterday. my maintenance window. So this PowerShell script, what this PowerShell script will do here, this is a script I use actually at all of my customers. Not that I don't trust them, because I do. I just really would like to know. So in this example, you'll see that I'm creating an HTML file, and this is not something I can use, you know, go public with or anything like that. It's just quick and dirty and nice, and it's for my eyes only. So in here, I can see how are we doing, what maintenance windows do we actually have, and so on and so forth. I have the very same example, another example here, where I'm just doing more or less the same, but this time it's just my deployments, because again, that can sometimes be very handy when you walk into a new environment. So this is just going to list, you know, all your deployments, the are they required, what is the membership count, and so on and so forth. Again, just quick and dirty. Remember, we have a ton of information in here. Some information you want to see, other stuff you really want to show to other people. And this is perfect for me. And again, if you have any questions, by the way, just stop us. Then we have the cool stuff. I mean, all of this is also cool, but this is like really cool. The Power Queries. The Power Queries is kind of new to Configuration Manager in a way. I mean, it's all in SQL, so there is nothing new in terms of bringing it into Config Manager. But Config Manager, the team blogged about this like I think 3 or 4 months ago. They had an example, and you can actually download this example here, which is pretty neat. It will definitely get you started. When we work with Power Queries, the reason why I love it is because I don't really have to do a whole lot of work. So that's kind of me. I like doing that. I'm lazy, doing almost nothing. So with Power Queries, what I can do is I'll just create the data set. Just the data set. So a Power Query is something my manager might want to need. So when she walks into, you know, a meeting about what should we purchase for next year. How much hardware do you have? How many different models do you have? What about the model name and model year and all of that? There is no way I can create all of those reports because I do not know the questions yet. But we kind of know that, hey, they're talking about hardware. My manager is superb in Excel. She's like an expert in Excel, know much more than I do. So I just need to fetch the data, give her the data, and then she can kind of juggle around with all of that. And that's kind of the reason why I like this. There are some really good resources out there. First off, if you want to download Power Queries for Excel, you just go ahead and do that. That's completely free. If you have Office 2013, it's an add-in, so it's a COM add-in. Just go in and enable that add-in. Getting started with Power Queries, there are some really good videos out on Channel 9. Those were the ones that I used when I kind of got started with that. And then we also have PowerView. PowerView is kind of cool, and let me give a quick introduction here. And if you wanna get started with the Configuration Manager ones, this is the Excel spreadsheet that you'll get. So you have a bunch of different PowerView sheets in here. Eventually, there will be some data in here, but this is kind of cool. Just imagine if you could actually give this to your manager. I mean, this is really what you want to look at. Different tabs, they're comfortable. It's Excel. I mean, they know what they're doing. It's super easy to get started with this one here. Oops, I don't have zoom it on here, because all you need to supply is your database name and the server that you're trying to connect to. Once you've done that, I mean, you're kind of going here. So how do we get started with with Power Queries and Power Views? You need Excel. Once you have Excel in here, you can go ahead and then you can, from Insert, you can start and inserting your Power Queries. You can see here I have my Power Views. Before I can do that, I need some data, right? So I'll go in and say, hey, I want to grab data from the SQL Server database. And I'll just go online to my own database. It's called cm_ps1. My SQL statement, so in here I could paste the SQL statement that I had from the last example. I can just go in and say, I want to have everything from v_gs_computer_system. And if you're not familiar with the views, and I totally get why you would not be familiar with all the views, remember the visual drawing that I showed you? It will list the views. Another neat tool, which is like really old, that is this tool here, Scriptomatic. If you have never used Scriptomatic, this tool alone is worth the entire hour, trust me. Because in here, you will have access to your WMI, and you can select all of your classes. And if I go in, let's just take a quick look at my computer system class. You'll see a neat little VB script. I could brag and then say, hey, see, I created the Perl script, but nobody would believe me. So when I run this, I mean, what I get in here is I get all the information, so I know exactly model, name format, and so on. And there is almost, I mean, if the WMI class is called win32_computer_system, and there is a pretty good chance that it's called v_gs_computer_system in here. So there is almost a one-to-one match between the WMI names and the names you have in here. It's not a rule, but it's almost certainly almost like that. It will get you started here. So if I didn't fat finger anything in here, then what it's going to do right now, it's going to connect to my database, and it will say, hey, last time you tried this, it was like 48 days ago, so do you want to refresh the data? I definitely want to do that. So this is my data set, and this is where you have to do some work, because I cannot present this to my manager. There is simply too much stuff in here that should be eliminated, like admin password status and so on. So your job is to go in here, spend a few minutes removing the stuff that you don't need. Okay? Resource ID, kind of really not needed. The same applies to group ID and so on and so forth. You might also have to change the data types. So if a data type is not really numeric and you want it to be numeric, you need to go in and change it here. Remember, you're handing over this data set here. Once you're done, close and load. And here you have everything. So here I have some rough information about my computer system, so I can see the domains they have joined, the manufacturer, the virtual machines, all of that stuff. The next thing I really want to do is, I want to, being the manager, I want to create a power view. So now I go into a meeting. I have no idea what kind of questions will come. I just know when I go into PowerView here, it will try to analyze my, it will analyze my data, and it will come up with an example. So don't you want to see this? And I go like, not really. I really don't want to see this. But my manager right now, he or she knows that, hey, what we really want to look at here is stuff like the manufacturer. So we want to have a look at the manufacturer. We don't want to have a look at the group ID, and we don't want to have a look at the revision. So let's just go ahead and remove that as well. We might want to have a look at the model as well. And let's just delete the, remove the timestamp. Remove that one. So now I have a view in here. It's not super good, but I still have a view. What I want to do is I want to get the manufacturer in here. And suddenly I can actually use this, because now we can sit in the meeting, we can discuss, and we know stuff. So how are we doing on the Lenovo's? How are we doing on the Microsoft, and so on and so forth? We can also turn this stuff here, if we wanted to, we could turn it into a chart. So that's also possible, but just by going up here and clicking. After a little while, I mean, you end up having stuff that I just showed you, the Microsoft examples. They're created exactly the same way. I have a few examples, and I will give you the queries. Let's just go here to this one here. So I have some examples that I kind of use. The first one here is my task sequences, created more or less exactly the same way. When I look at my data sets, And this is live data. I don't know if you noticed that it actually changed. But when I look at that data set in here, you can see I have information like how many days ago was it that we actually deployed this one? What's the duration and so on and so forth? And suddenly, you can create an overview. This is just pure Excel. There's no hocus pocus in here. This is just Excel. But we can see the duration of each of the different task sequences that we have. So now we know the average duration. And if you have something that you can, you know, like a site name, something like that, a boundary, well, you could tie it into that, and then suddenly, you know, in Tallinn, it takes 55 minutes, and here in Basel, it only takes 48 minutes, and why is that? And then you can start troubleshooting on that. The other example I have in here would be the example that I showed you in the beginning. So this is like my software update one. But when I look at this one here, you can see I have the different severities up here. This is just, those are just the raw numbers. And in my overview, I can kind of see how many updates do we have in the different classifications, how are we doing in terms of compliance, and so on and so forth. So much easier. Try and see how long it's going to take you in a report to create exactly the same. I mean, that would be a full day job. So, Power Queries, really awesome, getting started. You have some videos up here that I highly encourage you to actually look at. Then we have two items left. We have the custom dashboards. And the custom dashboards, I call it like, in essence, it's really just a report on steroids because they're kind of neat. There's a ton of information in there. And if you do it right, you might only need the dashboard. And dashboards are meant, in my opinion, for management. So management should look at a dashboard and know if things are going good or bad. Richer information should be in the reports, right? For custom dashboards, we have some examples. So Jason also mentioned that yesterday, that Gary Simmons has created a neat example. So we just found some of those examples, and you're going to give a quick demo of that?
Yeah, there are some community examples on the way in the internet. Just the difficult part is to find the right one, but this is a great article from Gary Simmons. He has written a part series about to creating software update compliant dashboards, and also he has described how do you do that, and some examples, and also the linking stuff that I show you before. And in the end, he gives us his RDL files in a zip file. You have just to download that files. It's in a zip file. It's the show you here, the RDL files. I imported that to my lab environment. Here are the RDL files. The only thing what I have to do is to import that files to my reporting services. I've created here in the root a dashboard folder. I can do that again for a new folder. Dash. So, okay. And just put in, upload the RDL file. They will open a wizard or a website to browse to your RDL files and check here, open maybe the dashboard and give him a name if you're not really happy with that name he gives. Say okay, and you have the dashboard here. The only thing what you now have to do is to change the connector to your database. So his database, maybe his site code is another site code than you have. So just open this report with the report builder. And the only thing you have to do is go to the data set, data source, open the data source, and change it to your database. Maybe it's not really nice to see, so we go here to browse to our report server folder and then to the config mgr underscore s01. That's my site code. And in the end is here this code to get access, make a test to the connection. That needs a little while.
While we're waiting for that, I can tell you that, especially the Gary Simmons one, I normally implement that for two reasons. It's really cool, and it makes me look good. Normally, it takes like half an hour before I tell the customer it was something I downloaded. but it really, it's super useful, and the SQL code in there is nice. You, as with everything else you find on the internet, it doesn't have to be the truth just because you can find it in Google or in Bing. So some of the code we have found, some of the examples that are kind of scary. So don't complain about performance after you have implemented some of that stuff. So it's always good if you can run it by a DBA and say, hey, does this look like something we want to implement? And you don't want to have 25 people in your organization importing reports. That's not good.
Yes, of course. So after connection result is successfully, say OK. And here, if you want to change your logo or stuff, you can do that anyway. So Kent has shown that before. And here are the data sets, just to give you an idea about the query. Huh? And save the report and close it and open it in the browser, give them the category. My database is empty. It's not really working, sorry for that. But after that, you can run your dashboard. There is another one. Should I show that?
I think we just have like.
Okay,
we'll blog about these dashboards here. So
we have the link on the slides, I think.
Yeah, we will have the links on the slides.
I have downloaded, and he gives you a dashboard about client health. It's also the same story. But what he has done, just to give you a quick show, I upload one file. Just pick one and open that with the report builder, and there is a little bit a different story about the connect to the database. So that's maybe why you're talking about look for trustful data sources. Here he has a direct connect, so you have to give in your server name where your database is stored and the name of the database. Huh? After that, you can also connect to that. That's the two different RDLs, maybe the most available. Cool. But be careful, yes, of course.
Yeah. One of the examples, actually, we still have a couple of minutes here. One of the examples was created only by using, believe it or not, the console. So when you go into, you know, like the software library, you click around, you're actually creating a SQL query. So if you look at your SMS provider log file, you'll see stuff in here like execute WQL. That is the WMI statement. And just below that, you'll see an execute SQL statement. So what he did was he just, you know, went in there, looked at some software update group, picked some stuff, and then he just copied and pasted the SQL statements in there. You can. It's not the nicest way to do it. But it's a kind of a great way if you want to, you know, like quickly, like really quickly, look at some stuff. So here I have a query. When I run that query, it's just going to give me the Windows agents that are less than a certain number. If you go into your SMS provider log file right now and do a search for execute WQL, just find that. There you go. So here you'll see this is my query. Right below that you have your execute select state execute SQL statement. You can grab this one here, paste it straight in to SQL Management Studio, and there you go. So this could this is not really, I mean, this would not be turned into a report, but this could be the beginning of getting to know the different views and so on and so forth. Okay. We have one more minute left. Some of the professional dashboards we have here. We actually have Civision right outside, and they're giving away a free dashboard. So I highly encourage you to take a look at them. We also have SquareOps. They're also giving away free dashboard. No, I'm not sure they're giving that away. I didn't say that. Go out and ask them. If they do, they're really nice guys. and then we have the company that I come from. We also have a dashboard. We have two different dashboards. We have an ops manager, and we have a config manager one. The one that we have is literally just built on the principles that I've been talking about here. So it's I wouldn't say it's like a huge secret, but it's like you have something that the manager can relate to. Blue or red, green or yellow, and stuff like that. Here, it looks really not that great. My manager just wants to know why we're not doing good. And what I can do is I can try and figure that out, and I'll just go into some of the reports that I showed you. So you can see it's all about, you know, figuring out what you want to show to the right audience. Once I figure out that this is not really going my way, I'll just hand it over to Service Desk and say, hey, can you go and fix these machines? So just hand that over, and they will do their job. With that, this is more or less all we had for you. So thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the conference. And if you have... wow, almost controlled them. if you have any questions, I know there's a break coming up, but there is a Q&A at the party tonight, and Jason and I will be there, and I'm pretty sure that some of the other config MVPs will also be there. So by all means, stop by and ask Jason all the nasty questions. He loves that stuff. Thanks for coming.